Chazar zech in eshmat ha-bachay chazar shagam rav Yehuda mesech ha-bachayim daf hey. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said the pasuk that says chametz has to be gotten rid of by Yom HaRishon refers to Erev Pesach because Rishon means prior, so it means a day prior to Pesach as we see in other pesukim. In fact, more if so, when the pasuk says that one should take a lulav and esrog by Yom HaRishon, that should also mean you should take it Erev Sukkos. So there the pasuk says that the Yom Tov should be for Shivas Yom, 7 days. So the pasuk teaches that just as the seventh day referred to in the pasuk means the seventh day of Yom Tov, so to the first day referred to in the pasuk also means the first day of Yom Tov. In fact, more Pesach also says Shivas Yom, so we say the same thing, which would mean that HaRishon, when it says B'yom HaRishon, it should also refer to the first day of Pesach, not Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara says the fact that the pasuk says HaRishon with the hey, it teaches that it refers to Erev Yom Tov. In fact, the pasuk by Lulav also says HaRishon. So what's the ha, the hey teaching over there? Second question, another pasuk regarding the Isra of to do malacha on Sukkah says B'yom HaRishon uvayom Hashmini. According to the last answer, it should be also to do malacha on Erev Sukkah as well. The Gemara says the words uvayom Hashmini teach that just like they refer to the eighth day of Yom Tov, the HaRishon also refers to the first day of Yom Tov. And the pasuk, and the reason the pasuk says HaRishon is to teach that malacha on Chol HaMoed is mutter. In fact, we know Chol HaMoed is mutter, but malacha from the fact that the pasuk says the first day and the eighth day are asur. Obviously, the in between days are mutter. The Gemara says since the pasuk says uvayom Hashmini, the vav, it would seem to add to the previous day, saying that Chol HaMoed is asur as well. That's why we need HaRishon to say that Chol HaMoed is mutter. Why didn't the Torah just not write the extra vav and then not need the extra hey? Also, question number two, Erev Pesach should be also do malacha because the pasuk regarding Isra malacha over there says bayoyim also bayoyim ha-rishon. Mara said the word rishon in each of these three cases, by lulav and malacha and sukkah, malacha and Pesach, come to teach an entirely different drasha that it teaches that one who keeps these three halachas merits the killing of Esav, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the name of Mashiach. The one remaining ha-rishon of the Gabe Tashbisu over there, that was also ha-rishon, that comes to teach it done on Erev Pesach. That doesn't have another drasha, so the drasha for that one is the teacher that's talking about Erev Pesach. Rava says, the pasuk said the carbon Pesach may not be shechted when you're in possession of chametz. Since the carbon is shechted in Erev Pesach, we learned at the time you have to get rid of chametz on Erev Pesach as well. Maybe everyone can have chametz until they shecht the carbon, and chametz only has to be destroyed when you're shechting, not at a given time. The Marissa, the pasuk means that at the time when the carbon Pesach may be brought, which is the beginning of Chatzos, that's when the chametz has to be destroyed. A Braisa supports Rava. The Braisa says Rabbi Shmuel learns that Erev Pesach is the time to destroy the chametz from the same pasuk as Rava. The Braisa continues and says that Rabbi Akiva says it must be talking about Erev Pesach because one must destroy the chametz by burning it, and burning a Yom Tov is also as a malacha. Therefore, it must be referring to Erev Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi says it must refer to Erev Yom Tov because the pasuk says Ach, which means that part of the day is mutar to have chametz, part of the day is aser. On Pesach itself, the entire day is also to have chametz, so the pasuk must be referring to Erev Yom Tov. Rava says from Rabbi Akiva's statement we learn three things. Number one, the chametz must be destroyed by burning. Number two, the malacha of burning carries the same punishment as all other malachas. And the reason it's singled out in the pasuk is to teach that anyone who performs any one malacha is chayiv. And number three, that we don't say that just because burning on Yom Tov is mutter for cooking, it's also mutter for non-cooking purposes. A Braisa says the pasuk says that for 7 days se'or lo yimotze bevateichem. This seems unnecessary because another pasuk says se'or lo yiralecha se'or b'chag v'lecha. So why do you need both pesukim for her? However, the second pasuk says it should not be seen to you, which would mean that you may have chametz of a goy or of hegdish, and that you may hide your own chametz that's not seen, and you can watch a goy's chametz because it's not yours. That's what the Torah had to tell us. Lo yimotzei, which means anyone's chametz, whether it's hidden or it's open. We would think that a goy's chametz is only a problem when it's a goy who's not under our control or doesn't live in our chatzah. How do we know that it's also, even if the chametz of a goy who's under our control or lives in our chatzah? The teacher, the pasuk says, chametz it can't lo yimotzei in your houses. So that it teaches even that, even such a guy. How do we know that the Isser extends to areas outside the houses, ditches, storage places, etc.? The pasuk says, in all your borders, b'chol gvulecha. We would think that in a house, which is included in both psukim because it's in a house and it's in the borders, there over there, one is going to be subject to the Isser of finding and seeing b'yimotze and b'yira, and you'd not be allowed to hide your own chametz or have chametz of a guy. However, if it's only in gvulecha but not in the house, maybe only one's own chametz is aser. There's exer shavah from the word sa'ar written in both psukim to teach that the halachas of each pasuk apply to the other, to the situation. The other pesukim as well. Back to Mother Bryce says we would know that the chametz of a guy not under our control and not in our chatzah is aser. And the pasuk teaches that even the chametz of a guy under our control in our chatzah is aser. In fact, if anything, the second category is under our control, living in a chatzah, is the guy that we would not need an extra pasuk for. Abaye says the order of the Bryce attacker should be switched. Rava says no, that it's going on the earlier part of the Bryce. The Bryce says we would think that it's only an iser to see your own chametz, but there are times when the chametz of a guy who is not under our control is mutter to have there. We'll explain this later in the Gemara. On that part, the Bryce says how do we know that this leniency of having a guy's chametz applies even to guy who are under our control as well. To that, the Braisa answers, the Pasuk says, L'cha twahis, to teach that this leniency applies to such a goy as well. In fact, the Braisa seems to say that one may only not have his own chametz. Then the Braisa says that the Pasuk of Lo Yimotze teaches that one may not hold the chametz of a goy. What's going on? The Mara says he may not keep a goy's chametz if he's responsible for its safekeeping, meaning he'll have to pay if it gets lost or destroyed. If he has not accepted the responsibility, he may keep the goy's chametz. That makes sense if one holds that something that can cause a monetary loss or benefit of money is considered to belong to that person. Meaning if he accepts responsibility because the chametz may cost him money if he gets lost, it's now considered to be in his possession as well. However, if one doesn't follow that view, why would it be usher just because he is financially responsible? The Mara says, the pasuk of Lo Yimotze teaches the chumrah that it's usher, even in this case, even if you don't normally hold that way. Another version says, according to the view that the financial responsibility does not equate to ownership, it makes sense why we need the pasuk to teach that with regard to chametz it does. However, if you anyway hold that financial responsibility is the same as ownership, why we need the pasuk? The Mara answers, even according to the view that we would think that ownership only takes place once the item is lost or destroyed, that's what we think only then. But until then, it would not be a problem to have the chametz in one's house. We have to teach that even then, when you can just give back the chametz without it being destroyed, still it's considered a problem. Rava was asked, when the king takes a percentage of every firstborn animal, would that make an animal potter from the halacha of the bechor? If the goy is a part owner in a bechor, the laws of bechor don't apply. If the person can pay money to the king in its place, it's certainly chayiv in bechor. The question is where he can't. Rava said, the animal will be potter. Bryce says, the animal is chayiv, but that must be referring to where he can give money in its place. Another version says, Rava said, an animal is potter from bechor even if he can give money in its place, but the dough of a Jew, when the king takes a percentage of each dough made, is chayiv in chala, even though a dough owned part by a guy is really part of mechala, and this is even if he can give money in his place. Why? Because people won't realize that the dough is owned part by a guy. It's not something that's less leikala, whereas by a bechor, it's leikala, and therefore he will be potter if he can't get rid of it with money.